This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
And welcome to Washington Watch on this Wednesday. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, who's president of the Family Research Council and regular host of this radio program. I'm the producer of Washington Watch and a 30-year media veteran. It's an honor to be back with you here today. Well, up on today's show, lots of chatter over President Trump's stern warning of to North Korea. We'll talk with Congressman Joe Wilson of South Carolina, who serves on the House Armed Services Committee. And Texas is close to banning most insurance coverage for abortion in a pro-life victory. Texas Representative John Smithley will be here to tell us about that new bill. And down in Miami, well, it has reversed its sanctuary status and the feds will no longer hold back funds. Jennifer Carroll, former Lieutenant Governor of the Sunshine State, will join us on that matter. And if you're a student at Princeton and a number of other universities, they're going to let you choose a gender, or reportedly several genders. Dr. Jerry Newcomb, senior producer and on-air host and columnist for D. James Kennedy Ministries. He's also author of a new book, The Unstoppable Jesus Christ, How Your Faith Can Triumph in a World Gone Mad. He'll be here to help us tackle that topic and many more. Well, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says Americans should sleep well at night and not panic about the growing North Korean nuclear crisis. Traveling from Malaysia today, Tillerson tried to reassure Americans and said he doesn't believe the U.S. faces any imminent threat from the isolated communist nation. Tillerson's words followed President Trump's warning that North Korea faces fire and fury if it keeps making threats against the U.S. Well, joining us now is Congressman Joe Wilson. He represents the 2nd Congressional District of South Carolina. He also serves on the House Armed Services Committee and the House Committee on Foreign Affairs. Welcome back to Washington Watch.
Russ, it's an honor to be with you, and I appreciate your service very much.
Well, thank you. Congressman, before we get into this, go with me down memory lane. Let's listen to these clips just a minute.
This is a good deal for the United States. North Korea will freeze and then dismantle its nuclear program. South Korea and our other allies will be better protected. The entire world will be safer as we slow the spread of nuclear weapons.
The United States condemns this provocative act. Once again, North Korea has defied the will of the international community, and the international community will respond. This was confirmed this morning in conversations I had with leaders of China and South Korea, Russia, and Japan. We reaffirmed our commitment to a nuclear-free Korean Peninsula, and all of us agree that the proclaimed actions taken by North Korea are unacceptable.
Now's the time for North Korea to end the kind of belligerent approach that they've been taking, and to try to lower temperatures. Nobody wants to see a conflict on the Korean Peninsula. But it's important for North Korea, like every other country in the world, to observe the basic rules and norms that are set forth, including a wide variety of UN resolutions that have passed.
He has been very threatening beyond a normal statement. And as I said, they will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen before. Thank you.
Well, Congressman Wilson, you've been around this topic for quite some time. That really got folks cranked up, didn't it?
Oh, hey, Russ, it's just amazing. And I want to thank you for playing those clips. The American people need to be reminded that we've been assured by prior presidents, beginning with President Clinton, sadly, also President Bush and President Obama. And at the same time, the dictatorship in Pyongyang has been developing its missile capability. And then the Washington Post, of all things, has revealed this week the potential of potentially 60 miniaturized nuclear warheads. All of this, as all of these assurances have been made, and whatever the controversy concerning the comments by President Trump, he was telling the truth. And that indeed there would be fire and fury. And it's another clip that I heard today, which was really inspiring to me, was a direct quote from President Harry Truman, which indicated truly the strength that the American people have to resist totalitarians.
Well, Congressman, you've been involved with quite a few bipartisan legislation. Matter of fact, to eliminate tourist travel to North Korea, isn't that right?
Yes, in the past month, and it passed the Armed Services Committee and the Foreign Affairs Committee this month, and it would provide for a ban on travel to North Korea. The only benefit of tourist travel to North Korea truly is to provide hard currency to the dictatorship. And then, sadly, we see with the murder of Otto Warmbier that it provides a gruesome opportunity for the dictatorship to hold American citizens hostage and ultimately lead to their death.
Well, why do you think North Korea picked Guam? Give us a bit of the history there to threaten.
Well, Guam is an extraordinarily important American territory. It's 3 hours from Pyongyang. It's 3 hours from Manila, 3 hours from Tokyo, 3 hours from Shanghai. And Russ, it has all the aspects of being a permanent aircraft carrier. And then another fact, I worked very closely with the delegate from there, Madeline Bardayo, and I've visited Guam a number of times, and it's very inspiring. The people of Guam are the only American citizens who have lived under occupation, and they did, Japanese occupation during World War II. It's very brutal, and the consequence is the people of Guam are very patriotic. The highest percentage of National Guard and reserve members of any state or territory. But the reason it would be selected as a potential target is that it is so close to North Korea, and it's so important for America's security with Anderson Air Force Base located there, with the nuclear submarines that we have that can be ported there. It's a very important American outpost strategically located in the Pacific.
Well, apparently it's home to about 150,000 Americans.
It's 150,000 Americans, patriotic Americans, Russ, and these are descendants of the Chamorro citizens initially there, and just the most pleasant people that you could ever want to find, and just so patriotic Americans who love our country, and they want to back our country up. And for them to be selected by Pyongyang in a statement yesterday that there were targets being selected on Guam, by the communist dictatorship truly is, to me, an indication of the depravity of the regime in Pyongyang.
Well, what are some of the non-military negotiations with North Korea that still might be on the table?
Well, it would be really, and I want to commend our ambassador, Nikki Haley, and President Donald Trump to have the vote in the UN this week unanimous of sanctions. Rather than negotiations, what needs to be done is to put additional pressure on the rest of the world to see any economic ties, any benefit to the dictatorship in Pyongyang. And obviously the most important partner they have that props them up is China. And it was really a remarkable achievement, I think, for China to vote for the additional sanctions. Obviously, it was also another achievement that, in light of the controversy that's going on with Russia and the sanctions that have been applied, I think, correctly against them, that Russia would actually vote with the United States. Plus, you never, it's almost like wonders never cease.
Well, you know, it seems to me, I'm a parent, I have four kids, and it's like you warn over and over again. It's almost like each time you warn and you don't do anything, it's like you're giving permission to do that behavior again, if you follow that chain of thought. And this time, it's like President Trump said, we're laying down the law.
I'm really proud of him, and he's been backed up too by the Secretary of Defense, James Mattis. Secretary Mattis has made it very clear that indeed the United States is going to assert itself and make every effort diplomatically and in terms of military strength to terminate the ability of North Korea to threaten the people of South Korea, to threaten the people of Japan and Guam.
Well, would you think that strong rhetoric also might also be directed towards China?
It really is. There's no question, Russ, that China needs to understand the concerns of the American people, and that so much of it would be so negative for Beijing. Beijing benefits from a strong America. It also benefits from not having conflict on its border, and that would be in terms of the level of refugees that could flood their country. They need to be working for a regime change in Pyongyang, and they have the ability and capability left to do that.
Well, let me ask you this. Traditional diplomatic language, it doesn't seem to be working, as we opened this segment with those several clips of past presidents. And, you know, a good manager, a good leader surrounds themselves with effective leaders. And then they allow that those people to do their job. And that's what many see President Trump doing. You're not going to hear that from the left, but many see him here. You know, good leaders aren't threatened by other good leaders, and they surround themselves with people that are going to do the work. Is that what we see going on here?
It really is. And I want to give credit to my wife. She was an early Trump supporter, and she advised me that she felt like he was the right candidate because he would, he could not have succeeded as he has without appointing good people. And he proved it by appointing Mike Pence as the vice president. And then we know Secretary Mattis being a four-star Marine general, was that an extraordinary person there with Secretary Rex Tillerson, again, another capable individual who is traveling the world right now, putting pressure on the regime in Pyongyang. And then, of course, we're so proud in South Carolina the appointment of Governor Nikki Haley and her success. Again, this week, can you imagine, Les, that there was a unanimous vote by the Security Council to call for sanctions against North Korea to include the votes of the People's Republic of China and the Russian Federation?
We really saw her leadership, didn't we, this week?
Hey, I love how she, with a wink and a smile, said she twisted arms. And she did. But she twisted arms in terms of logic and the concern with the instability on the Korean Peninsula, which would have such an extraordinary ripple effect back into China and into Russia. There's a very significant Korean population. I've been, I'm one of two people who have been to North Korea. I've been to South Korea several times. But what an inspiration South Korea is. It's what a sad, distressing state North Korea is. But there's a very significant Korean population in Russia and China that could be destabilized if action is not taken to take every effort to denuclearize North Korea.
Well, Congressman Wilson of South Carolina, thank you so much. You have so much to share with us, and I appreciate you squeezing into our schedule to share with us, and blessings to you as you continue to serve the nation.
Well, blessings to you, and I'm glad to see Ole Miss graduates do so well. Congratulations.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. Well, the Lone Star State is one step closer to banning most insurance coverage for abortion. Well, the author of the bill, Texas Representative John Smithley, when we return.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? Family Research Council is here to help with answers and insight from our experts. Our work in Washington, D.C. is to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture. We want to hear from you. Send us your questions about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church, or about any issue that FRC stands for, issues like life, marriage, and family, or religious liberty. Go to frc.org/askfrc and enter Ask FRC in the subject line. We'll consider your question, and you may also have a chance to be published on our blog. Again, that address is frc.org/askfrc. Thank you for standing with us.
If we want to take our nation back for God, I believe that we're going to do it through the young people that are rising up in these last days.
Tim Todd of Revival Fires International for Truth for Youth Bible Week.
They're literally going on the school campuses with a copy of the truth of God's Word and giving it to their friends in school that are not saved. And we're seeing a massive amount of young people give their heart to the Lord as a direct result of this.
Parents, order a free Truth for Youth Bible for your teen to pass along to a friend. Or teens, you can order a Bible for a friend. Visit revivalfires.com or call 800-733-4737 between 8 and 4:30 Central Time. That's 800-733-4737.
My life is changed forever.
The Truth for Youth Bible inspired me and led me to Christ.
It's Truth for Youth Bible Week. Let's take the message of the gospel to America's youth.
Thank you so much for the Truth for Youth Bible.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Earlier this week, I asked a coworker how her weekend was, and she told me that she had gone to a funeral and left feeling encouraged. Yep, that's right, encouraged by a funeral. And it was because the person who had passed away was a strong believer in Christ. She had helped to plan her own funeral service, wanting it to be a celebration, full of joy and hope. She wanted it to be all about Jesus, and it was. And it reminded me of what the Apostle Paul once wrote in 1 Thessalonians. We do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. So, could I invite you to deepen your hope by investing in your walk with Jesus? Try out Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, filling in for Tony Perkins. It's an honor to be with you here today. And Texas is a step closer to joining 10 other states that bar private insurance plans and those offered through the Affordable Care Act from covering abortions except through supplemental plans. The bill, which the House passed 95-51, now awaits a vote in the Senate. And with us now is the lead author of that bill, Representative John Smithley. He is a Republican from Amarillo. And welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thanks, Ross. Good to be with you.
Thank you so much. Well, you contend that people who oppose abortion shouldn't subsidize it through their health insurance plans. Tell us what's going on down there in Texas.
Well, you know, we were very fortunate. We had tried to pass this legislation the last 6 or 8 years, actually. It was an exception that was put into the Affordable Care Act when it passed Congress. If you'll recall, there were a handful of pro-life Democrats who had refused to go along in support of the bill because it was very pro-abortion. And as an accommodation to them to get their vote, the Obama administration agreed to a provision in the Affordable Care Act that allows states to basically do what we did here in Texas, and that's make abortion insurance optional. And so Texas had never done this, although other states have. And we owe a great deal of gratitude to Governor Abbott here in Texas, who put it on the call, the special call of a special session, which really focused the attention on the issue. And I think gave us the opportunity to pass this where we hadn't been able to in the past.
So essentially, it's pretty simple. If you want an abortion, you pay for it.
Well, that's true. You know, the way that it works in many states, and if this bill passes in Texas, is that if you buy health insurance through an exchange or basically a pretty broad range of plans, you would not be required to purchase insurance for, and we're talking about elective abortions here. We're not talking about abortion procedures to protect the life of the mother. Those are going to be covered anyway. Mm-hmm. But these are just elective abortions, and in those circumstances, you can elect as an insured whether you want to purchase that coverage or you don't want to purchase it. And for someone who's pro-life and would likely never have an elective abortion, that is really just kind of wasted coverage because you're being forced to pay for a service that you would never utilize. And so to us, it was a matter of personal freedom, mm-hmm. and also a matter of conscience, where people aren't required to subsidize something that a lot of people find reprehensible.
Well, it certainly is a pro-life victory. And what do you say to those who say few insurance plans cover abortion, so the legislation wasn't necessarily needed?
Well, you know, it's true that the majority of plans don't cover abortion. But for instance, in Texas, we have at least six of our plans that do cover elective abortions in all or some circumstances. And so even though it's not universal, it is occurring. And the problem is that many people find themselves hooked up with a carrier or in exchange under Obamacare, where they really have no choice. So it's almost like the insurance company dictates what coverage they'll buy. And so this is designed to give them that personal freedom to be able to opt out of that.
And the bill does not make exceptions for abortions that follow rape, incest, or fetal, right?
That's correct. You know, I think some fetal abnormalities be covered, for instance, in the topic of pregnancy, because those have been recognized in Texas law as not technically being abortions, but for instance, a miscarriage. But you know, well, the point that we tried to make was that those people who are, many people who are devoutly pro-life, feel like it's wrong to take the child really in any situation other than to protect the life of the mother. And because of that, the principle is of economic freedom, that it would not be fair to make an exception, but to allow people to purchase that coverage if they want it and not purchase it if they don't, so that they don't have to violate their conscience.
And just in the last minute or so that we have remaining, can you bring us up to date on Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton? He wants a federal court to overturn a ruling over removing Planned Parenthood from state Medicaid funding. Isn't that right?
That's right. And you know, he's done an outstanding job here in Texas and has really stood up for pro-family, pro-life values. And so, I think we all hope he's successful in his efforts.
And that claims comes from what, 2015 videos released by the Center for Medical Progress, which appeared to show Planned Parenthood officials agreeing to sell fetal remains, which, of course, you know, that's all tied up in courts. It's amazing when investigators go get information that helps pro-life efforts, and someone like 60 Minutes can do undercover investigations all day long but never get held to that standard.
Well, that's right. The people that uncovered the wrongdoing, they're the ones that turn into the ones that are charged with wrongdoing. And that's, it just doesn't seem right. And it's not right. You know, I think that the people who did that did a public service because they did expose the wrong.
Well, what happens next with your bill?
Well, now it goes to the Senate, which has already passed a virtually identical bill, but they're going to have to pass this bill as well. But I understand they're going to set hearings for this weekend and hopefully get the bill passed no later than Monday of this coming week. So the outlook is really good. And, of course, Governor Abbott, who put it on the special session call to begin with, has indicated he will sign the bill immediately when it hits his desk.
And when do you think that'll happen?
Well, hopefully it'll happen sometime by early to the early or mid part of next week. And so it would become effective at the end of this year, but it would be April of 2018 before it could be practically fully implemented. But that's just how the insurance business works. That's as quickly as we can practically implement it. But it would become law, and very well may be challenged in court as well.
Well, Representative John Smithy, thank you so much for your service down there, being in the trenches, and it's people like you that are fighting the good fight, and we appreciate your service.
Well, we appreciate what you're doing as well. You're really very, very much a part of this battle.
All right. Thank you so much, and you have a blessed rest of the day. Well, we're going to go down to Florida here in just a minute. Miami, Florida, matter of fact, has reversed its sanctuary city policy and is now in full compliance with federal immigration. We'll talk with Jennifer Carroll when we return.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, normally at this time, I would be considering oil and what's happening in the oil markets. By the way, American Petroleum Institute put out inventory numbers. Crude inventories dropped 7.8 million barrels. This happening while gasoline inventories showed an increase of 1.5 million barrels. That would indicate that there is balance beginning to come back into the energy sector. Now, it's a little early to tell, but it certainly looks that way. And we'll see. Could it be possible that by the end of the year, we begin to see balance coming back to energy? That would be good for the long-term health of the markets and of our economy. Of course, our markets are being hit by the rising tensions coming out of North Korea, global markets under a great deal of pressure as a result of the announcement that North Korea looks as though they can nuclearize a ballistic missile. The only thing that's going to help that situation is hitting them in the pocketbook. The sanctions were a great win for President Trump, that is for sure, and we need those sanctions, but it's got to be financial sanctions, and the only one that can help us with that is China. So there's got to be a lot of dialogue with China right now in hoping that we can shut down their banking system to put a great deal of pressure on them to bring them back to a table to negotiate. But this is going to be very difficult since we're dealing with a regime that has no desire to negotiate whatsoever. Right now, there's a lot of war of words going on, and let's hope it doesn't escalate into something more physical.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, the president of the Family Research Council. I'm the producer of this show, 30-year media veteran. It's an honor to be with you here today. Well, folks, there indeed is a new sheriff in town. And down in Miami, Miami's ditching its sanctuary city status. Attorney General Jeff Sessions threatened last month to take away federal grants from sanctuary cities that do not cooperate with ICE officers. And to maintain that funding, the Miami mayor ordered that Miami-Dade jails must comply with requests to extend the detention of individuals also being sought for deportation. Well, with us now is someone very familiar with Florida politics, Jennifer Carroll, former Lieutenant Governor of the Sunshine State. Jennifer, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thanks for having me, Russ. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much. Well, you've been down there. You know Florida. Well, this is yet another Trump win, isn't it?
Absolutely it is. And hopefully the other cities will follow suit as well. The mayor did the right thing, although they want to coin him. He was a Democrat mayor going to the Republican inauguration. That's beside the point. I believe that the mayor made a fiscal decision, because to lose over $300 million in federal dollars, that's free windfall money to the city, that over about a $52,000 item, is not common sense. Because if he lost out in that $300 million, where would the city have to make up those dollars? And typically goes back to the citizens in more taxes and more fees.
Well, shouldn't this also send a clear message to cities like Baltimore and Chicago, which, by the way, is suing over the administration's move, that, you know, continue to stubbornly resist backing off their lawless sanctuary policies?
You know, the sad part about this, Russ, is that what they're doing is strictly political. They want to send a message to Donald Trump that he is anti-immigrant. They want to, the Democrats are utilizing this, I believe, to showcase Donald Trump and the administration as against anyone coming into our country, which is further from the truth. And if the citizens were to see the amount of the cost of these lawsuits that they willy-nilly put out there just for their political gains, the general population would be livid. For example, in the state of Florida, since 2011 to 2016, the governor of the state of Florida, with the amount of lawsuits and private attorneys he's hired, it cost the state over $230 million. Mm. And $16 million of that had to go back to paying the opponent's private attorney's fees. So So when these elected officials want to quickly pull the draw and go to a court rather than upholding the law and doing what they're supposed to do and want to fight a political battle with the public tax dollars, that is absolutely wrong. Additionally, people don't understand that grant money is free money to these counties and municipalities. This money is taxpayer dollars that's divvied out to the various counties and municipalities based on the criteria of the grant. So there's no level of expectation that these are recurring dollars year after year.
Now, I'm stretching my memory just a little bit, but you are from Trinidad, isn't that right?
Absolutely. I was born in Trinidad, and my parents migrated along with me to this country.
So you have a good perspective to come at this from.
Absolutely. And the other thing is that as an immigrant, my family fully realized the laws that had to be followed to come in and the things that we had to do to get our naturalization, to get our green card status and comply with the laws. What is wrong with that? If you go into any other country and trying to become a resident in that country, you will have to comply with their laws and even speak their language. I've had family members that left from Trinidad, went to Canada, this was back in the 70s, and had to learn to speak French in order to get a job, at least a quality job for a sustainable quality income. So why is it so foreign that these elected officials are giving more credence to the illegals, the people that have come in and committed crimes, and give them level of protection, when we have immigrants that are coming in here the legal way, paying all of these fees to get an adjusted status to fill out your I-485 form with the immigration, that's over $1,000. And to apply for naturalization, that's $725. And it goes up every doggone year, and then you have to wait. So when you see these people breaking the law to come into a country that you have followed the laws and see them get head-of-the-line privileges, it really makes your head spin. And legal immigrants don't like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't most people who come to the U.S. legally, aren't they troubled with those who come here illegally?
They're absolutely troubled because they know the waiting process. They waited for years. Some people 7, 8, 10 years to finally get their final status done. The cost that's involved, every application that you submit, there's a high cost, hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars, depending on the amount of family members. The interview process you have to go through, the documents that you have to present, the examination you have to go through. And back in the day when we went through our immigration process, those immigration folks were not friendly. And if you, heaven forbid, if you miss an appointment, you have to start the process all over again. And to see individuals that are getting first-hand dib, they haven't come in and worked in this country and paid into a system, they immediately get assistance from Medicaid and free school and free health care and everything else, and you have people that are working, having businesses that they're contributing to the economy, and they're making a good faith effort to show that they're assimilating in this country, and they have to go to the back of the line. That's very troubling for the legal immigrants that are coming to this country.
Well, Jennifer Carroll, former Lieutenant Governor of Florida, the Sunshine State, very informative, good insights. Where can folks find more about you?
At jennifercarroll.com. My website is jennifercarroll.com.
All right, Jennifer, thank you so much. Thanks for what you do. We'll talk to you again. Thank you.
Thanks, Russ. Have a great day.
You too. Coming up next, if you are a student at Princeton, can't believe this, you can choose 1, 2, 3, 4, or more genders on your official student profile. When we return, we'll talk with Dr. Jerry Newcomb. He's with the D. James Kennedy Ministries, and we'll take your calls as well when we return after this break.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we visit on one of the days on our tour of Israel is the Shepherd's Fields. Now, this is a place in Bethlehem. You can look out on any given day and see shepherds with their sheep, as if it were 2,000 years ago during the birth of Christ. So that's a very special place that we visit. Yeah, the terrain would be the same. You can just picture yourself being there the night the angels sang about the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. So if you would like to join us on our March 8th through the 16th tour of Israel, we'd love to have you. Just go to the website, twholyland.com, for more information. twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call us at 800-FAMILIES. That's 1-800-FAMILIES. Families, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5.
Did you know there are 9,000 year-round volunteers serving with Operation Christmas Child nationwide? That's right, and local teams are still growing as God calls new volunteers to directly connect with His global purposes. As part of a local team, how would you like to invest your time, skills, and passions so that millions of children can receive a gift of love and a message of hope? To learn more about volunteer opportunities in your area or to apply, visit SamaritansPurse.org/volunteer with OCC.
It can be hard to know what to pray or difficult to find the right words. At pray.afa.net, you'll find prayers for every day of the year written by American Family Association's very own Brian Fisher. These prayers will lead you in how to claim God's promises over your life and encourage you in ways to serve God every day.
There is no better way to pray according to the will of God than by praying His own word back to Him.
Visit pray.afa.net today to pray these prayers for yourself. That's pray.afa.net.
So, what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Well, Princeton University is giving its students the option of picking a gender, or reportedly several genders. The Ivy League's Student Services interface, known as Tiger Hub, allows, but does not require, students to select one or more of the following, and I don't even like saying these titles, but cisgender, genderqueer, gender nonconforming, transgender, man, woman, and other. And this story, and many like it, are now disturbingly part of the daily dialogue across the country. Over in Georgia, we've got a professor that says, hey, if your bad grade is stressing you out and making you uncomfortable, causing you so you can't sleep at night, you send me an email and we'll change your grade if that helps you not be stressed out. Well, joining us now is Dr. Jerry Newcomb. He serves as the senior producer and as on-air host and columnist for D. James Kennedy Ministries. He's also author of a new book, The Unstoppable Jesus Christ, How Your Faith Can Triumph in a World Gone Mad. Jerry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Russ. Great to be with you.
Well, couldn't think of a better person to have come on to kind of talk about these potpourri of issues going on in light of your new book. I think there's a lot of folks that are going mad trying to keep their faith. But let's talk. These Princeton students can choose to be both male and female. I mean, isn't this just really reflective of where we've declined in our culture today?
Oh, absolutely. And I am positive that the Presbyterian elders who founded Princeton did not have this in mind, you know, back in the 1700s when they founded that school for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, just like Harvard and Yale and all the original schools were so Christian. And yet in that very article that you're referencing, it says that there's 50 universities now that offer, you know, more options than just male or female. But here's a news flash from the Bible. The Creator made us in two sexes, male or female. And frankly, science is on our side on this, because a new study even came out about 2 months ago from the Weizmann Institute, that's W-E-I-Z-M-A-N-N, and they found out that there are more than 6,500 genes that express differently in men and women. And so instead, though, you have this subjective view that you can be gender fluid, that in some cases people will even change over the course of a day, and they'll change to one gender versus changing to another. But it's all subjective. It's not objective. It's not based on medical opinions. And it's really quite sad and quite a tragedy. And, you know, it's almost a joke, but here's an example of how this works out, though, in our culture. There was a race, as in a foot race, involving some high school students in Connecticut. And I know personally, I do running, and I'm very slow. I just do it for my own health, you know, do 5Ks and 10Ks and things like that. And the men are virtually always the winners versus the girls. And so in Connecticut, there was this boy who says, hey, I'm now a girl. So he's a transgender girl. There's nothing medical about this. And he entered these, you know, 100-meter dash, 200-meter dash. He beat the girls, and now they're stuck with the results. And this is bad for them as far as the girls, especially as far as the scholarships and things like that, for getting in the college and, you know, getting a scholarship in their future and so forth. This is really tragic. It's beyond common sense today.
Well, I want to talk about your book here in just a minute. I'm going to put out the phone number here, and if you would you stay on with us and field a few calls, too?
Sure.
All right. Well, the number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, and I want you to give us a call. And, Jerry, you've got this new book. It's a new title. About a world gone mad, the unstoppable Jesus Christ, how your faith can triumph in a world gone mad. And I'd like to hear from some listeners out there what they're doing to keep their faith true in a chaotic world. But just tell us a little bit about what brought this book together.
Sure. Well, this book is essentially a compendium of several of my writings. I write a weekly column, as you mentioned, for D. James Kennedy Ministries. And by the grace of God, it's out there in WorldNet Daily and often Town Hall and Newsmax and Christian Post and so forth and other outlets, and I'm very grateful for that. And basically, though, my goal in this was to show that we need to look at the big picture and realize, Russ, no matter what happens, no matter how bad the culture gets, no matter how, even if the culture crashes and burns, the plan of Jesus Christ on this planet is unstoppable, thank God. I've just been listening, for example, to Bill O'Reilly's Killing Patton that he wrote with Martin Dugard. I've been listening to this as a book on tape. And you're hearing about the last days of the Nazi regime and just how chaotic and awful all those things were and all that stuff. Hey, the fact of the matter is, the Church of Jesus Christ remains, and it doesn't matter what happens in the culture. It does matter, of course, for the individuals. It matters for the families. It matters for the progress of the faith. But through it all, somehow God in his sovereignty manages to keep the triumph and the progress of the Church of Jesus Christ to continue throughout the whole world. Christianity, Jesus Christ, his kingdom, is an eternal kingdom, and it began 2,000 years ago, and it is destined to win despite what we sometimes see in the culture at large.
Yeah, amen. Well, let's go to Oklahoma, if you don't mind, and you can use some of the content of your book and what you're talking about and field a question from David. David, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, gentlemen. Just calling with a short story. A few years ago, worked with a young man who I don't know if he was transsexual or if he just was dressed as a woman. We work in a grocery store. If I mention the name, you guys, everybody would know the name. It's a pretty liberal health food type supermarket. But whenever I would have referred to this man to one of our fellow co-workers, some of the people, they would correct me. They would say, you mean her. But I never saw him as a her. He was nice enough. We talked regularly. I talked to him as much as any other worker. But I knew it was a male. You know, if you could look close, if you look close enough, you knew that it was the heart of a man, you know, of a male who was just abused and had chosen for right then to live the way he was living. And maybe he still does. I don't know. But But that was
yeah.
Like,
and it's really sad. And I think, by the way, the attitude you showed toward him as a person in terms of just trying to be kind to him and so forth, and as Christians, we need to really love these people and show them the love of Christ. In fact, we recently made a special at D. James Kennedy Ministries about the whole transgender issue, and I interviewed a man who was transgender, and he went all the way. I mean, he had an operation and everything, and regretted it very, very much. Walt Heyer is his name. But he became a woman for 8 years, but it was the love of Jesus Christ and the love of a Christian congregation that really showed him the way and helped him get out of that. And thankfully, in most cases, when people are confused, most times people will grow out of this by the time they finish puberty, literally about more than 90% of the kids. What's sad today is that some of the elitists in our culture are trying to essentially force little kids to accept a permanent change, to accept what is a temporary problem. So anyway, I hope that that guy, I would just ask you to, you know, pray for that guy, that former worker, and ask that he get saved and get straightened out for, you know, by the love of Jesus, really.
Well, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in with sitting in for Tony Perkins, and we're talking with Dr. Jerry Newcomb with D. James Kennedy Ministries, and also talking about his new book, The Unstoppable Jesus Christ, How Your Faith Can Triumph in a World Gone Mad. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Well, Jerry, you also address Hollywood and the media, don't you?
Yes, I do. I have a whole section on that, and sometimes it seems like a lot of the bad news, a lot of the news is bad and so forth. But it's interesting that there are definitely, there is a resurgence of faith-based films, some of which are really pretty good and have Christian values, and I think it's an ongoing struggle. I think Ted Baer of Movie Guide so often documents that the movies that are really anti-Christian and so forth, generally they tend to do badly in the box office, whereas movies that have Christian values tend to do much better. I think in the big picture, it's good to have a perspective like this. I think of William F. Buckley Jr. One time he was, you know, we think of Bill Buckley as, you know, the kind of the father of the modern conservative movement, but he was also dedicated to Christ in his own way. And one time he introduced a debate between a skeptic and a Christian about Jesus and the Gospels. And Buckley said, if during the course of this debate you see the skeptic disappear in a puff of smoke, then recognize that Jesus up in heaven has just cleared his throat.
Hmm.
And I thought, wow, what a perspective. And we need that kind of perspective to realize, you know, Jesus is divine, and his kingdom has come, and it has begun, and it will see its fulfillment. Praise God. And the stone...
Yeah.
Is becoming a mountain that's filling the whole world, and this is a great thing. His kingdom is forever.
Amen. Well, let's go back down to the Sooner State. Brandon, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good.
Good.
You have a question for Jerry?
Yeah, I have a question. With all this going on, I was just wondering what keeps a person from deciding they want to be a different race, or... You know, I can't associate to be black or Native American for just, I mean, how does this stop ever?
That's a good question. I mean, I think John Stonestreet of the Colson Institute, he made an interesting point in one of our specials about the transgender issue for Coral Ridge. He said, you know, when you stop believing in a Christian worldview, you really start to lose your sense of reality. And we see that in this whole transgender thing where people subjectively feel this way. But, you know, when you brought that issue up just now, I can't help but think about a white girl that identified with blacks and mm-hmm. certainly wants to work for racial justice, which is a great goal in and of itself. You know, the Bible says, from one man God made all peoples of the earth, so racism should not be the way that we go. And, you know, we certainly have a racist past to, you know, confess and all that stuff. But in the meantime, this girl was essentially pawning herself off as if she was black and was the president of a chapter of, you know, of a group that was only geared towards black people. So, you know, it just, to me, you're right. We're just kind of losing common sense. I prefer Martin Luther King's comment and vision where he says, look, let's get to the day where we're colorblind, essentially, where mm-hmm. people will be judged by the content of the character and not the color of their skin. Next. You know, I think that's a Christian perspective on that. And that's the way I think we ought to get back to that.
For sure. Well, we've got time for maybe one or two more calls. Let's go to my home state, the Show Me State of Missouri. Pat, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have just a couple of comments, and there being scripture. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And also,
amen.
Jesus Christ.
Psalm 119.
Yes, and Jesus proclaimed himself as the truth. And so one thing I've done is I have homeschooled my kids, and my reason being is to teach them a biblical worldview. And one of the books that we went through is Thinking Like a Christian by Dr. David Noble. And so I continually refer them back to the Word because that's how we get truth, because everything else is changing, and so we have to stick to the truth.
Amen. I totally agree. And David Noble, by the way, founded or was a key leader of Summit Ministries. Now Jeff Myers is the head of that, and he's just written a new book about worldview, too, from David C. Cook. So that's great. Excellent.
Thank you, Pat. Well, you know, Jerry, I know, at least in my own spiritual journey, and there's so many things that are attacking us right now, and we have a lot of distractions. We've got social media, and there's a lot of dissenting voices, and the left is, you know, tends to demonize who we are and our faith, and so I would imagine there are a lot of folks that are in that place that they really are trying to keep their sanity in the midst of this storm.
Yeah, and you know, quite frankly, God has given us some tremendous resources. And I refer here to his word and the fact that we can spend time in his word. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about Christian fellowship. I mean, all the basic things that we know, but to actually do it and to find a Bible group or whatever that you're comfortable with and that's, Christ-centered and so forth, it makes all the difference in the world, and it really protects us. I was just talking with somebody the other day about marriage, and we were talking about, even though some people want to say, well, the statistics of Christians getting divorced is just as bad as the world, in reality, that's not true when you have couples who are really committed to Christ together, and they're involved in church, and they're involved in praying together and reading the Bible. So I think it's important for us to get centered and get back to the basic things. And when you do, you know, you realize the great resources that Christ has given you.
Well, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, thank you so much for being on Washington Watch. Adam in Virginia, sorry we didn't get to your call. Where can folks find more about your book?
JerryNewcomb.com, and Newcomb is spelled NEWCOMBE.com.
All right, Jerry, thanks so much for coming on Washington Watch. Well, folks, that wraps up another show. You can go to FRC.org, go to FRC.org and get these shows that are archived there. You can follow Tony on Twitter at T Perkins, and you can follow me at Russ Jones 60. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins on Washington Watch. Stand strong in the faith. Be strong.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.